first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to yet another edition of Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline, and it is good to have you along for another edition. If you'd like to call live, you can at 603-816-1590. We have limited phone lines. It's one of the reasons we don't get a lot of calls, but sometimes we're using that phone line and the line is busy. But I like to give out the number, especially if you're listening live, because that is still where the heart and soul of talk radio is and ought to be, in live, interactive talk radio. It's what made me fall in love with it many, many moons ago. So it's Friday, and if you're not using cash for Cash Friday, you can do Cash Tuesday, Cash Thursday. I like to do good news where there is some on Fridays, because we're going into the weekend. We're going into the Memorial Day weekend, which is not just about hot dogs and hamburgers and cookouts, although it's good that it's about family and friends getting together. It's also about the great Americans who gave their last full measure, who gave their lives for this country and to serve this country. And we want to honor their memories. Patriotism is not passé. It's really more important than ever if you understand what being a patriot is all about. The strange kind of radical left has made that a dirty word. All patriotism means is that you love this country the way it was founded, and they don't. And that is not only not a sin, but has created greater peace and prosperity. Not always peace, that's for sure. More prosperity and more liberty than perhaps any country in the world. And so Memorial Day is a great day to do that. So on to good news. And under the general heading of consumers making their voices heard, because we have questions as to how much our votes are being counted, we can never give up the fight for honest elections. Without honest elections, we're no better than any dictatorship around the world. And since we are watching behavior that looks like a dictatorship in a variety of ways, in a massive number of ways, the putting down of dissent, which is really the very definition of a dictator. You will do it my way or I will punish you. And it always starts with first with free speech. That starts to go by the wayside. And so it is very, very important to hold on to that. To that end, people are finding ways to make their voices heard that matter. Remember during the COVID, which was the introduction of tyranny on steroids in this country, how much were people going to put up with? Well, sadly, they put up with an awful lot. They put up with a lot of lies, deceit, deception, and a whole host of things, proving and showing the legacy media and others simply don't care what we think. Maybe because they think that they can wrap up elections and have us all wrapped around the axle about a primary, which doesn't matter if you don't have honest elections. They've even demonized the whole notion that you question the honesty and integrity of elections, as if it's turning logic on its head, as you know. You're not allowed to question the integrity of elections because that threatens democracy, right? Which is absurd and preposterous on its face, because if you're not allowed to question, you already don't have democracy or a republic for that matter. Nevertheless, people are making their voices heard with companies that have gone woke. I have a couple of stats for you. Nobody imagined it would go on this long. Here's an article about Bud Light sales continuing to plummet over the Dylan Mulvaney backlash is what this article is calling it. Sales of Bud Light continue to plummet, reflecting ongoing backlash against the brand, and it has expanded to all Anheuser-Busch brands. According to data cited by the beverage industry, sale volumes of Bud Light for the week ending May 13th sank 28.4%, extending a downward trend from the 27.7% seen the week before. Now, I don't know if you know the word Schadenfreude. It's kind of a guilty pleasure. At least people feel guilty, if they have any sense of decency, not to cheer the downfall of others. But when you see an impact, when you see that wokesters are trying to push this junk down our throats and then calling everyday traditional Americans the bad guys, the threats to democracy, terrorists, domestic terrorists, all kinds of things, simply for loving America the way it was founded, loving dissent, and saying, you know what? Live and let live, baby. You want to, when you're at the age of consent, you want to have a massive surgery. Don't force me to pay for it, which, of course, they're going in that direction already. But if you want to maim yourself with surgery, make sure that you're at the age of consent. But now they're going after children. They're going after major brands, and people are saying no. And so I have a sense of Schadenfreude about that, because during the COVID, when, as I said, we were all being introduced to a level of tyranny that we had never, ever seen before, we recognized that there were a lot more of us than there were of them, but we didn't know how to organize. We didn't know how to. They were putting down even public peaceful protests. Can you say January 6th, which there's a great deal of evidence that the point is, don't you dare stand out on a public street corner and protest, because you could end up being framed for something you didn't do. They made hay of that and have still. That's a whole nother story. But the message is, you do not have First Amendment rights. You do not have the right to peaceful protest, to petition your government for grievances, free speech, freedom of religion, and all the rest. You don't have it anymore. We're just going to show you rather than tell you. So pardon me if I have Schadenfreude for the downfall of a beloved brand, Budweiser, people who not only went woke, but they're taking orders from wokesters who have no love or respect for free markets in the first place or profit. That's how soulless some corporations are and have become. The profit motive is a perfectly legitimate, and there's nothing wrong with the profit motive, right? But these people are exploding, the opposite. They are being dismantled and losing profit, ironically, because they are taking orders from people who actually hate this country and who are pro-socialists. So isn't that interesting? And they're finding out, places like Budweiser, that maybe they liked profit after all. Here's another organization that we're seeing. The big three right now are Budweiser, Disney, and Target. Target is trying to back off. Again, this has a great deal to do with insane ideas that there are 57, a Heinz 57 number of genders, and that the whole gender ideology and pushing this on kids in the case of Target is not only perfectly legit, we're going to force and push insane and dangerous ideas on people, on their kids, without their permission. And if you don't go along, you are to be punished. I believe that one of the messages there is, we don't care whether you agree or not, you just better not protest. And we are going to see how far we can push it. We're going to tell you that a tree is talking. You know that song, I talk to the trees? Trees now talk, and they identify as the gender that is lost by human beings. I mean, it's anything. And we're going to force this idea on you. We're going to force you to change your language. You have to use certain special language to indicate that you are obedient to our new changes. And that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. It is a psyop to show and to signal to the world and to one another that you are acquiescing to tyranny. What do you think the masks were all about? The masks were a symbol of acquiescence. The masks were a symbol of obedience. They didn't care that they didn't work. They had another agenda, which was to show physically that you are obeying. That's what that was about. Do you know, I was at the grocery store and saw two people still with a mask. Even now, they have been so completely brainwashed. They never saw through the con. They never saw through that this was really all about getting you to obey. If they cared one iota about things actually working and people actually being protected, they wouldn't be ignoring incoming evidence, as we've talked about before. So a little schadenfreude for good news happening where we can find it. We're going to have a great guest right after this break. Karen Kettley, and you're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Kettley.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hi, it's Karen Kettley. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. Boy, we're headed into summer. And I hope your summer plans are shaping up nicely. Well, I'm delighted to have one of my favorite guests. He knows it. I get teased about it by other talk show hosts because I have recommended him to other talk show hosts because he's just so darn good. A prolific writer, senior editor at The Stream, and author of the new Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism. He received his BA from Yale University, his MFA and his PhD from Louisiana State University. He taught at LSU and at Tulane, and he's the author of numerous books. If I keep going on, I won't have time to talk to him, although we have him for a good long time today. John Zemirak joins us right now on Spouting Off.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
I see you're broadcasting in, is it Nashua, New Hampshire?
Nashua, New Hampshire. That is right.
I used to live there. I lived for 7 years in Nashua and Manchester, New Hampshire. And I tell you, being in Texas right now with the summer starting, I really, really miss New Hampshire.
Well, I don't live in Nashua, New Hampshire, but the miracle of technology allows us to use it as our flagship station here at WSMN.
I just want to say hi to everybody in Nashua. And I used to go to St. Patrick's Church right there on Main Street.
How neat. Well, John Sununu, I keep calling him John. It's Chris Sununu is throwing his hat into the ring of the endless people in the primary who nobody likes, but who they just want to mix things up. You wrote an article. I want to get to this Durham Probe article of yours because it was an absolute home run. One of my favorite publications, the Liberty Daily, had it above the fold in giant letters. I meant to tell you that. It was one of the reasons I said, I haven't had him for a while.
Well, we can talk about that one first and then get to the presidential race, which will be with us for a while.
The piece I wrote on the Durham Probe.
Has the pithy title, "The Durham Probe Exposes Our Elites as Lawless Dictators and Their Allies as Corrupt Collaborators." And in it,
Go ahead.
The Democrats are committed to imposing their policies on the country, whether or not the people support them. And they made that clear in 2016 when they announced that they were doing a resistance to Trump with a capital R. And what does that word call to mind? Frenchmen in berets running around with hand grenades, blowing up Nazi trains before they take people to concentration camps. That's what we were supposed to think of. In other words, Trump and anyone who worked for him and anyone who supported him were like the Nazis. Well, what are the limits to what you can do against the Nazis? There are no limits. There are no rules. Whatever you have to do, if you're fighting the Nazis, it's okay. So that was the dog whistle to all the leftists in America, that they could break any law, violate any rule, lie, cheat, steal, fake elections, whatever it takes to stop the Nazis. And sure enough, that's what they did, isn't it? That's what the Durham probe shows us. They were willing to cook up fake FBI investigations that the FBI itself knew were false, accusing the newly elected president of treason. They were willing to suppress FBI probes of Hillary Clinton and the Biden crime family, even though they knew they were real. They were willing to weaponize every government agency, every police force, to weaponize lawless mobs of thugs like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, whatever it takes. So that's one historical point of comparison. The Democrats pretended that they were plucky little French freedom fighters fighting against the evil Nazis. But here's the other point of political comparison I make in this column at stream.org. The Democrats are the same party that proudly stuffed ballot boxes and engaged in voter suppression for 100 years after Reconstruction to stop black voters from voting, because those black voters tended to vote Republican. Because, I don't know, the Republicans freed the slaves, whereas the Democrats blew up the country in order to keep them in chains. Mm-hmm. So the period of Reconstruction, when the Union troops were in the South, saw black people given the right to vote. In fact, the Republicans in Congress passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments in order to eradicate slavery and give full civil rights to American blacks. They even passed a National Civil Rights Act, which was nullified by state laws all over the South as the Ku Klux Klan and the Democratic Party collaborated to stop black people from voting. And there's even a passage in William Faulkner, brilliant Southern writer. He has a novel called The Unvanquished, and he has a passage about the white elites uniting to steal ballot boxes and stuff ballot boxes and eliminate black votes so that they could take power again. And you know what these people called themselves? They called themselves the Redeemers. They were redeeming the South from the threat of rule by the blacks and the Republicans and anyone else who didn't agree with them. That's exactly what the Democrats decided to do with conservatives in America, to treat us the way the Democrats and the Klan, which is was always the paramilitary wing of the Democratic Party, to treat MAGA voters as if they were blacks in Alabama in the 1920s. Hmm. And one more point. It even got to the point, do you remember when people who work for Donald Trump couldn't eat at restaurants because they were getting thrown out of restaurants and mobbed at restaurants? That's exactly what happened in segregated restaurants in the South when blacks tried to desegregate them.
You know, John, the irony, because I look at things from like a psychological perspective sometimes, because that's my background, is they've gotten away. This is classic strategic projection.
Projection,
so
absolutely.
They're claiming that other people are Nazis, and therefore they get to act like Nazis.
That's
when
right.
They're just using the accusation as a justification for it.
Right. They are holding our hand and smacking us in the face with it and saying, why are you hitting yourselves?
Yeah. The other thing is the amazing, and you have such great historical knowledge, the fact that they have gotten away, the Democrat Party, let alone the radical Democrat, the radical left that controls the Democrat Party today, seems to have gotten away horrifically well at convincing ignorant Americans that Republicans were the party of slavery, that Republicans did everything they actually did. What, you know, I don't know who to be angrier at, Republicans who allowed that to happen or Democrats who successfully palmed off all their responsibility onto their enemies.
Well, you know, I actually I had to think this through, how this happened. A radio host asked me, why is it that Black Americans, after being oppressed by the Democratic Party for so long, the moment the Democrats started throwing them a bone, they lined up and voted for them and it became the party for blacks, even though it had always been the party for white supremacists up through the late 1960s.
Yes.
And I think I know the reason, and I think it is psychological. Mm-hmm. Karen, you know about Stockholm Syndrome, right?
Yes.
How would you describe Stockholm Syndrome? I'll let you do it since you're the professor.
Identifying with the enemy.
The oppressor.
That's what
the one that has the power. So
that's
it's like
correct.
An abused wife who testifies on her husband's behalf in court so that he doesn't go to jail. Or someone in a cult being abused, convincing himself he deserves it and that it's for his own good.
Or joining Patty Hearst. I don't know if that
Patty
story
Hearst.
Was true or not, but Patty Hearst was the classic example of
I think
the
it is
Stockholm
true.
Syndrome.
I think it is true. I've read about the Patty Hearst case. When she was finally arrested and they did all sorts of tests on her, her IQ came in 25 points lower than it had tested before she was kidnapped.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. It was
I wonder
serious
how they did it.
Cognitive distortion caused by repeated rapes, being locked in a closet. I mean, I can't say what I would do after months of that treatment. Hmm. So the American blacks had been terrorized by the Democrats, first of all, during slavery and then after slavery for 100 years. And suddenly the people who've been beating you up and oppressing you, the people who wield all the power in your town, in your city, they start being nice to you. It's like a miracle. Mm-hmm. It's like the second coming. And they have all the power anyway. So rather than try to start up a Republican Party from nothing, the Democrats are suddenly willing to welcome you in and pat you on the back and offer you government programs and pay off give your leaders big bags of cash. So the Democrats, all they had to do was turn on a dime and just stop kicking black people in the face and start throwing them things and tossing them scraps from the welfare state. And they got the leadership and they got a lot of the voters. That's how it happened. It was Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm-hmm. And now we're in a time in which the racial political, what do you call it? Race politics.
The climate of race relations?
Yeah. Race politics, John, has gone to an entirely new a level we've never seen before.
And you know why?
We're sticking it to white people in favor of blacks, that blacks, they're supporting blacks in oppressing whites. You're not allowed to say that.
Except that they won't let black people have guns to defend themselves. They don't. They let criminals loose immediately if they're black to prey on black people, because most victims of crime are minorities, and the vastly disproportionate, they are the victims of crimes, including crimes by black criminals. So when you have soft on crime policies, the poor people, the non-white people, tend to suffer far more than the rich white elites who live in gated communities with private security guards. Michael Bloomberg is never going to get mugged on the subway.
No. Not only that, but government programs that provide the illusion that we're going to take care of you, which is what they're doing to everyone now, never, ever result in that. All it results in is people doing worse. And as Candace Owens so aptly puts it, you're then on the government plantation.
Right. They should rename the welfare programs as promiscuity insurance. We're going to encourage your girls to start screwing around at 14 and 15. And if they get pregnant, we will be the daddy. we will support them instead of a man so they don't have to get married, so they can be trapped in poverty for the rest of their lives and give birth to a bunch of kids who are going to be in the same cycle of dependence on the government and never have a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of independence. They will always be trapped in this, I call welfare a glue trap for the poor.
That's what it is. That's what it is. You've graciously agreed to stay with us for one more segment, which means we can talk about another article after the break. What do you want to say to kind of sum up this article that you wrote? The Durham probe exposes our elites as lawless dictators and their allies as corrupt collaborators. Yeah. Found at stream.org.
Basically, the FBI is more your enemy than the secret police in Russia or China or North Korea, because the FBI can raid your home.
Well, not much more to say after that, is there? You know?
The only thing, if you ever speak to the FBI, you should just repeat the word lawyer, 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 until they bring you one.
Have you seen, also, this just is an aside, that they've revealed...
Oh, I'm sorry. One of my beagles is going nuts here.
Ah, we love doggies. We love them. They've revealed that it was, of course, a plan. You'll have a lot to say about it. We might have to say it after the break. To use our taxpayer dollars to claim that they needed more money to fight terrorism, and they're using it to put down conservatives.
Oh, yeah, and to infiltrate churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Hitler didn't ever say, I want to oppress people and silence all difference of opinion. He said, we want to preserve the Reich from bacteria, from infectious things that threaten its health and safety. Whenever someone talks about public safety or public health, see if you still have your wallet or if they've pulled the fillings out of your teeth, because it's usually a scam.
Well, and that's what we saw for the last 3.5 years. And look how well
panic.
It worked. It worked great.
It did.
Yeah. And they're still happening. I saw two people at the store today with masks on. And even the government declares it. And there are still people
Karen,
wearing
I
masks.
I had an alternative plan. I thought we should make people wear 6-foot ornamental cod pieces. That's like, like pool noodles, at groin level. To enforce social distancing instead of masking. First of all, most importantly, it would have been really funny. Secondly, it would have worked just as well as masking and the vaccine, and we would live in a different country right now if that had happened.
Boy, oh boy. We got to take a break. We're talking to John Zemarek from thestream.org. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference in all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Sometimes you need a woman's opinion, especially if you're trying to do the impossible, which is to understand women. I'm not really comfortable talking about certain things with women I know or even with family members. I used to wish there was a smart woman who didn't know me, but who would care enough to give me good advice. Now there is. Ask Aunt Emma is for men only, but it's not therapy or phone dating. It's just wise advice. It's completely anonymous because you call and pay through liveadvice.com. So I decided to give it a try. I was amazed at Aunt Emma's insights. She gave me a lot to think about so I could decide what to do next. And maybe she can help you too. Find Ask Aunt Emma on Facebook or register at liveadvice.com and you can speak to her practically right away. Again, you can find Ask Aunt Emma on Facebook or you can register at liveadvice.com. Get the female perspective. Just ask Aunt Emma. Ask Aunt Emma is for men only. Must be 18 or older.
1590 WFMN.
The Village Network was created for only one reason, to keep those 62 and older in their home as long as possible, ideally for the rest of their life. The Village Network is the answer for children who do not live nearby and worry about their parents being able to remain independently and safely at home. The Village Network has a network of trusted providers and volunteers who provide transportation, home repair, home-delivered meals, grocery shopping, and others who are there to help when you need them. We can even find someone to walk your dog. The Village Network does not charge thousands of dollars of upfront costs for services you may never need. With the Village Network, you only pay for services when you need them. Become a member of the Village Network today by calling 603-891-0008. That's 603-891-0008. The Village Network. Become a member today.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We're talking to John Zemirak from thestream.org, prolific writer of books and articles. And thank you for staying with us, John.
Hi, Karen. I noticed your little tag thing said that you were given the name Karen so you could grow up to be a punchline. Think how I feel. My name is John. That's what they call prostitutes' customers when they round them up. People get jeered
and
John
letters.
And they
call it a bathroom. They call it a bathroom, too.
Bathrooms are Johns. People write Dear John letters to dump men. So, you know, I feel your pain.
Great. Well, that gives me a great... there's an article I want to ask you about in a minute. But I don't want, because there's so much to talk about, I don't want to save this for the end. On Fridays, I like to do something that's good news, because it gets difficult for listeners and even hosts to keep talking about the tyranny, the horrendous things we're watching, changing reality.
Oh yeah, I mean, I write
fantasy.
About so much bad news, I feel like a dung beetle who needs to live on crap in order to survive.
That's as best as I can ever say it. So this is a two-part question. I want you to just, you know, let us know what you think. Two-part question is more personal. How do you keep going? And I think I've asked you that before. But is there any good news on the horizon that you can share with us on this Friday? Let's start with that. What's something good news that you can see? It's not Pollyanna, but is real. Because in order to fight for your liberty, you gotta at least be encouraged in some way or another, and we are. What do you see as good news that you think we hope about?
You know, when Pope Benedict resigned and was replaced by this communist Pope Francis, it created kind of a big psychological void for me as a Catholic, and sort of my earthly father figure had been removed. And then I discovered Gordon Ramsay, and I started watching all of Gordon Ramsay's programs, and he is wise and prudent and a good shepherd. He actually ought to be Pope, but he's not. But at least I can watch Gordon Ramsay programs every day to keep my spirits up, and I'm literally not kidding. That is what I do to keep my spirits up. I watch old episodes of Hell's Kitchen and the new show, Next Level Chef, which I highly, highly recommend.
Next Level Chef. Well, you know, given what our appetite about Gordon Ramsay, who are not familiar. I'm not familiar with Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay is a wonderful British chef who came from nothing, from a broken home in public housing. He was going to be a star soccer player, and then he got an injury and could never play again. So he went to France and worked his way from the bottom, and he now has 37 restaurants with multiple Michelin stars and multiple TV programs where he takes apprentice chefs and teaches them how to do a good job. Or he goes to failing restaurants or failing hotels and shows them how to get rid of the rats, how to get rid of the bugs, how to attract customers. And often he comes to people like family businesses where the marriage is breaking up, and he tries to save the business and the marriage at the same time. It's really quite inspiring. I know it's reality TV. I know it's formulaic, but it's fantastic, and it lifts my spirit. So if you ask me, how do I keep my sanity?
I love it.
It's watching Gordon Ramsay.
Well, you know, I've used this analogy. I am looking and always on search for things to help me keep my equilibrium because I'm not a Pollyanna, God knows. And one of my analogies is I feel sometimes like Sam Malone in Cheers. An alcoholic who runs a bar, right? I'm not an alcoholic.
I often feel like who's the only sane brother in Arrested Development? The one Justin Bateman played?
I never watched Arrested Development.
No, that's fun. Yeah, Michael Bluth. I have Michael Bluth on the set of Arrested Development, and right now Buster is president. You know, the guy whose hand was bitten off by a seal?
Well, and part of this is keeping your sense of humor, doggone it, which
that's
you clearly
right, that's
have.
Right. I mean, there's a German word. Schadenfreude.
I just used it on my monologue.
You take a bitter pleasure in other people's misfortune. Well, now we have to do a sort of a self-Schadenfreude, Selbstschadenfreude, where you take a bitter pleasure in terrible things that are happening to you and your country because there's nothing else you can do.
Well, I used it to do with Budweiser, Target, and Disney.
Oh,
that's
Schadenfreude. And you know what? The fact that Bud Light lost $2 billion in the last couple of months, and now Target is going to lose billions of dollars because they're groomers. They're grooming children to be victims of gay predators and to be victims of malpracticing doctors who want to cut their genitals off. The fact that we can bring down these corporations, that's fun. You know, put some energy into boycotting Target.
Good news.
Find out who else to boycott.
It is totally good news.
Sorry?
Yeah. It is totally good news. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, you were in the middle of a thought.
If you have a reliable religious congregation, support it. If it's unreliable, leave it and find one that is. One good way to find whether a religious leader is worth his salt, did he resist the COVID panic? Did he demand or encourage people to get the dead baby vaccine? Did he close down enthusiastically and just live off government PPP money and reluctantly reopen when he had to actually start working?
Right. I think that is a beautiful analogy because we watched this privately, individually, and we saw it happen in real time. I'm ashamed to say I saw a rabbi who was catering to his terrified congregation, was happy to shut down you know, to prove how obedient we are to the state. And then I knew,
well, you know, I can't imagine with a rabbi it'd be even worse, because Jews are afraid of germs, right? Everything has to be clean. So I can imagine that it would be even easier to provoke panic there.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This gives me a chance to move on to this article. And I just want to thank you and let you comment. I want to thank you, since we got a Jew and a Christian here, a Jew and a Catholic. You wrote a great article called How Many Anti-Semites Should Speak at Your Christian Conference.
This was such a horrible thing.
Yeah.
There is a Catholic conference, sort of a really just a gathering of videos online. It's not even a real conference. And it's a bunch of, it was a mixture of some prominent, respectable Catholic speakers and a bunch of goat rodeo people who run podcasts. And the guy organizing it, Patrick Coffin, after inviting all the eminent, respectable speakers with PhDs who teach and are perfectly respectable, then invites on a Holocaust denier who does things like go on Iranian TV and call the Holocaust a myth. This guy, E. Michael Jones, who on Iranian TV said Donald Trump is controlled by the Jews. That's a direct quote.
Yeah. And you spoke out about it. That's the great thing.
Oh, yeah. What I did was first, I went privately to these speakers, the ones I knew, and I said, do you know who else is speaking at this same event? And, of course, none of them did, because this guy had sandbagged them. He invited them first, got them to RSVP, then at the last minute added on the Jew-baiting hate monger and didn't tell them. So a number of them withdrew right away. Others were then didn't really quite get it. They were afraid they were going to be part of cancel culture. Oh, wait, isn't this like what they did to people who wanted to use ivermectin? And I had to show them no. So in this article, I document all the vicious, hateful, psychotic things this washed-up, old, fired academic who blames the Jews for losing tenure has been saying for the last 20 years, and we got more of the speakers to leave. So pretty much all the speakers that were worth anything got out of Dodge, and the only ones who are left are people who don't really matter very much. But it's still a disgrace when anyone lends credibility to a hate monger who targets and scapegoats people based on their ethnicity or their religion.
Never in our lives have we been called upon to be clearer about our principles, to know what we stand for. And because there's so much lies and deception out there, this story, John, reminds me of the way that the propaganda media twists the meaning of things.
Right now, they're trying to paint conservatives, Christians, and frankly, anyone who believes that there are only two sexes, they're trying to paint us all as racist and therefore Nazis who deserve to be punched in the face, fired, put in jail, persecuted by the government. The campaign against conservatives by the media and now our government, it reminds me of what the Hutu extremists did in Rwanda in the 90s in their buildup to the genocide they committed against the Tutsis.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing new under the sun with the tactics that are used to lie to the public in order to rile them up and incite hatred and violence.
It goes back. I mean, sorry. The dog. I got to get in the other room.
Okay.
This goes back to the caveman times. There's an author, René Girard, G-I-R-A-R-D. He's a Catholic philosopher, just died recently, from France. And he traces through all ancient societies the tendency to scapegoat, to find individuals or groups, maybe women accused of witchcraft, Jews falsely accused of
starting
children.
Epidemics because they washed their hands and other people didn't.
That's right. But yeah, they blame the plague on the Jews in some places in the Middle Ages. Yeah. The tendency to scapegoat, it is a powerful way to unify society, to find a common enemy and focus all the anxiety and discomfort and anger that come from being ruled by incompetents like Joe Biden, to focus that anger on some innocent target. And we saw it when Joe Biden made his Darth Vader speech in front of Independence Hall with red floodlights on it.
Yes.
Joe Biden tried to scapegoat the 52% of the country that voted for Donald Trump.
That's right.
Whatever percent.
That's right.
More than half. Because Donald Trump did win the 2020 election, and it was stolen from him.
Even if
you don't believe that, even if you believe that Joe Biden won narrowly, magically, in a few counties, in a few states after they stopped voting, and then in the middle of the night started voting again, half the country, at least, voted for Donald Trump. Joe Biden tried
and now
to
they're
scapegoat
all domestic
half
terrorists.
The country.
And now they're domestic terrorists. I'm glad you have... Nobody has any more guts than you do, John Zemirak. You tell it like it is, and... If you want a roadmap on what is true and what isn't true, all you got to do is see what the radical left is punishing people for saying. That doesn't mean everything is true, but they don't bother to persecute people who tell as many lies as they do.
Let me tell you something funny.
Yeah.
I am permanently banned from Twitter because I contradicted the transgender narrative. You know who's has a blue check on Twitter? E. Michael Jones, the anti-Semite we were just talking about. He's on Twitter. Richard Spencer, the white supremacist who led the Tiki Torch March in Charlottesville, he's on Twitter because they are no threat to the left. In fact, radical extremist nutcases like them serve the left very well because they stand as nightmarish caricatures that help the left build up their machine of repression against ordinary, faithful, patriotic Christians, Jews, people who love this country and love it, the principles on which it was founded. They want to equate us with hateful, bigoted, Jew-baiting white supremacists. And psychos like Richard Spencer are happy to go on Nightline, happy to go on CNN, and support that narrative.
John, it is always a pleasure to have you, and you are always a shot in the arm. Keep watching those Gordon Ramsay programs. You're going to need it.
Everybody have a beautiful Memorial Day, and remember to pray for those who passed in wars and pray for our veterans.
Yes, and find John Zemirak at stream.org. Thank you, John. Godspeed.
Take care.
Well, that does it for this day on Spouting Off. In New Hampshire and everywhere. As John said, I couldn't agree more. Say a prayer for the courage of people who gave their last full measure and say a prayer for this country. Be well.